Dude, I'm going to ask you a straight up question.
What's up?
When is it time to buy a new computer? When is it time? Like right now, I feel like I just need a cleansing fire and I just burn all this crap down and just start over, start clean.
Right now is the time. Should we do it live on air? Should we direct your browser to apple.com/iMac?
Yeah, let's
go ahead and fill that thing up with all the RAM.
Oh, they're so expensive. Holy cow.
They just updated them.
I know. That's why I feel like it's the time to do it, right?
Yeah, man. You got to get it.
Right now, I got a late 2015, and that doesn't seem like...
Are you going to go pro, or are you going to just fill a standard iMac up?
I don't know, man.
Get that Pro-Am, iMac Pro-Am.
How much money am I paying to have the black rims? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying don't get the Pro. Get the regular, but just fill it up. All the RAMs, all the batteries.
Would you like to play a game? Let's do this. Okay, here we go. Okay, it's pretty freaking powerful. Great. That's a sense. Let's see what that says. Buy. Let's just go straight to the buy. Or I could buy the trash can. Which is a trash can?
No.
Retina 4K, 27 inch. Boom. Let's just jump right there. So we're going all the way to the right. Retina 5K, 3.7 gigahertz, 6-core duo processor with turbo boost up to 4.6, 2 terabytes of storage. $2,299. Okay. By the way, I am staring into this thing for the rest of my, like for 5 years. So yeah.
Yep. Welcome to spend Pete's money.
Totally. okay. Here's the thing, right? Ready? Do I want 8 cores or 6 cores? I don't know. What does a core do?
It's a computer.
I know. So how many computers do I need? It's a $400 extra computers. It's a $400 extra to get 8 cores.
You get 2 whole more cores. There you go. Okay. You get 25% more cores. No, you get 33% because you go from 6 to 8, right? So it's like a third more.
Okay.
But it's memory. Quarter of the total.
8, 16, 32, 64.
Yeah, get them all. Get all the memories.
That's a thousand
stuff you never did.
What's the difference, man? I mean, seriously, $1,000.
What are you doing for 64?
Recording podcasts, designing labels, doing like some video stuff, but not a ton. I mean,
okay, there's two things you could do.
Okay,
one. You could just reinstall your computer. You probably just got some, some cruft, some dust, some dirt. You got some belly.
Yeah,
lint.
This thing's 5 years old already.
You could probably also just get the pre-configured thing and not add anything. I'm sure it's going to be blazing fast compared to where you're coming from, and you'll be fine. Right. It depends how much you want to spend.
I don't want to spend a lot of money.
This is what we've come down to, right? Is you can spend however much
you want. Totally. Yeah. How much would you like? 32 gigs of RAM. That seem right?
That seems luxurious.
Really?
Yeah, it'll be great.
Okay, what's the difference between let's talk about graphics card. This is a new thing. Pro VGA 48 with 8 gigabytes of HBM2 memory. Radeon Pro. What's the difference? Do you know?
If you're not cutting video or rendering, but you do, you'll see the difference. But that's like GPU video processing, rendering. That's
another $450, and I honestly don't know what it does. So let's say now. Storage.
These are turbos for your turbo. You know what they do. They smooth it all out. It's melted butter on top.
What do you think? 3 terabyte fusion drive?
No, no way.
Why?
Spinning hard drives are for suckers. That's the one thing I'll say.
2 terabyte SSD
all the way. No, no fusion. No fusion.
$4,000. I can't do it. It's like right now I'm on a computer. That I am, what's the right word?
It's working.
It's working. I think, you know what the best thing we just did is? This is Keith Sarlos in a nutshell. What we just did is Keith Sarlos in a nutshell, and I'll tell you why.
I just walked to the edge of the diving board and you said, 100%,
nah, never mind. 100%. And this is why. I'm going to tell you why.
Now you don't want a new computer anymore.
No, something I did. Before we started talking, I wanted a new computer so bad. I was swearing at this thing. I'm like, I'm going to kill you and throw you against the wall, friend I see every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I went, am I $4,399 bothered by this? And the answer to that is no, I am not. You're $4,399 worth.
I've done my job. You send me my 10% and
I should send you $400.
Oh, yo, Keith, what's up?
Oh, hi, how are you? Hey, I almost bought a computer and then I didn't.
You know, I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, it was terrible. Oh my gosh. So it's a Friday. Let's all say hello to Matt Pay. Hi, Matt. Hey, Matt. What's up?
What's up?
What are we talking about today? What are we getting?
We're coming back around on this Jerry Saltz How to Be an Artist or Live a Creative Life rule, or excuse me, lesson three. Feel free to imitate.
This is copies. Good.
So, you know, what's interesting, we had a side conversation yesterday, which was what inspired my music choice that I was listening to.
And what were you listening to?
I was listening to the Fat Boys.
The international movie stars?
The international movie stars of such famed movie as Disorderlies. It's funny, I went and watched the Disorderlies trailer because I hadn't seen it. I've seen the movie a long time ago. I don't even know how I saw it. I was too young when it came out to see it in the theater, so it must have been a weird HBO or Showtime, you know, sometime in the 90s or the 2000s. I don't know, but I've seen Disorderlies, and it's special, you know. Now we were talking about this yesterday. Have you seen Disorderlies? Were you even familiar with?
Okay. Yes.
So I went and watched the trailer again, and it's so funny to me, and it actually speaks to what we were talking about, is it literally starts and says, hold on, let me see if you can hear this.
You can three stooges make you laugh yourself, Seth. The Fat Boys could put you in the hospital.
So, you know, I thought it was just hilarious. Like, they didn't even have a way to present this movie on its own.
But somebody greenlit this.
To the movie public. They literally had this, they start the trailer showing the Three Stooges. And it's, if you thought the Three Stooges were funny, these guys, you know, like,
hey, white people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, we need a bridge to get them. And you know that in the pitch, they were like, you can tell just by the way they're marketing it, that they said, we're going to make a Three Stooges movie with the Fat Boys, you know, like that was the literal distance it took.
That's
it was
how it
one
got
of those
made,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. This just a side note, but, you know, feel free to imitate. It's, that's an interesting one. You know, there's a lot of, conversation I think we have as creative people and people who make stuff, and you're always kind of on guard against people just knocking your stuff off directly.
Oh yeah.
But it's
I feel that happening all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. So how do you feel about imitate? How do you feel about your own freedom to imitate, or how do you use imitation or ingestion, or how do you regurgitate what you encounter?
Well, number one, I think if you let's go back to the lessons, right? I think this is we're talking about now. We're still in the beginning phase, and we're going to get to a generational generational talent. Mm-hmm. So the first thing was, you know, don't be afraid to start, right? And then we get into like the second lesson we were talking about last week, and we kind of got hung up on it a little bit. And the part I think that's interesting is, number one, don't be embarrassed. Number two, tell your own story and you'll be interesting. Caveat, you are not entitled to an audience. I think those are really interesting. Mm-hmm. And this, feel free to imitate. These are all getting you off the couch, right? These are getting you off the couch and making you do that thing that you feel led to do. And these are usually the things that would stop you. Now, feeling free to imitate, I think, is a key ingredient because what's that one thing we've talked about before where people say, oh, you have good taste, right? And that's why you started doing this. But then all of a sudden you're not making things that are at the level that you like when you start working on something. So let me paraphrase that. Like if you're in graphic design, you're like, oh, I like that. I like the way it's kerning, the kerning. I like how it's laid out. And then you start making it and you're like, why does my stuff suck? But there it is. Right. And I think that falls right in for me where don't be afraid to imitate and the when you feel free to imitate, you're going to start copying or laying stuff out and getting feel for distance. You're going to get feel for, because right now, I mean, just before we were talking, I was working on our labels and the labels kind of fell out of me this year. And what I mean by that is it went really fast. Usually it takes me a month or 2 weeks. Mm. And now I did it in like a couple of days. And that really freaked me out. Like I didn't like it. And my wife said, well, you've been doing it for 10 years. You've made over like 200 labels now. You do it all the time. Of course you're going to be able to do it. She's like, the distance from what's in your head to what's on your hand becomes shorter and shorter and shorter. And
But you're not able to just trust it by default though.
I don't.
Because you're used to paying a certain price in the process.
Absolutely.
Before you get to the place where you feel it's good. Yeah.
I think that that's the pain, right? And when the pain goes away, when you're an artist or when you're creating, you don't trust what you've done. I think that's because it feels unearned. And
well, yeah. And I think that the interesting thing about this feeling free to imitate, you know, I think Ira Glass touched on this too a couple of years ago.
That
was very popular. Like as a beginning step, I think it's it is smart because really what you're doing is you're learning A, to do something, like you said, get off the couch, get into it. But you are by imitating, by recreating, you're training yourself in how to create something. You're training yourself in how to create something specific, especially if you're trying to hit a target of imitation. And even if it's a little more passive on the taste or the decision-making, maybe not the taste piece, but the decision-making and the originality piece, you are building the muscles you have so that when you do start to develop your own style or your own thing, those tangible skills of being able to create the thing or being able to execute what it is that you set out to then can serve the goal of what it is you decide. And sometimes along the way, you know, you may get 85% of the way there and you may make a right or a left turn because you say, you know what, I actually am changing and want to do this other thing. So I think it is an interesting thing. I think the hard part about it, or the thing that sticks up as the red flag, is some people who stay in that space, who stay in that imitation, and then start to either claim it as their own or think that that's their own originality, as opposed to using that as the passageway and the path to finding something else.
But
that may be theirs.
You get cut a really wide path when you're a beginner, right? Think of anything. Think of, if we take this away from art or creation or work, and you say, oh, I want to be able to hit a golf swing, skateboarding, anything that has a style, right? The style aspect of it, you start doing it and you try to imitate those people that got you into it, that make you like it. I think the interesting part is at some point where you are proficient, you have to find your own voice. And that's when it, I think, really makes a major shift. If you're just out there to begin and to start and to, smash paint against a canvas or write or talk or design or anything that we're talking about that's art, that become like, everybody's like, yeah, way to go, man. Way to get out there and go do that, like guy or girl. And, but when you get to a point where it becomes profession, where you're making money at it, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're making that jump. Now you have to find your own voice. But I think the truth of it, like it staying in this, don't be embarrassed. Tell your own story, which I think is finding your own voice. And then the next level of that is, okay, it's okay to imitate when you're starting out. Yeah, go for it, man. Cause you're going to learn a lot from people who paid a lot of dues. You know, we see that in action sports a lot, right? The progression level of kids is so high because they've already seen someone do a backflip, or they've already seen somebody do this. And so they know it can be accomplished. And then they just have to go out and push it a little further. And we, that's any progression.
Do you ever feel, or can you think of a situations where, do you ever feel like you're imitating yourself?
Oh, self-plagiarism. Like, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Well, I was just going to ask you, actually thinking to what you were just saying about the labels. Do you feel like, is that part of what, I'm not going to call it plagiarism, but is, do you think that's part of what allows it to be faster, that you have kind of developed some guidelines and rules and aesthetic and feel for what it is you're trying to create, and that it's basically you're making something in the vein of where you've already been digging? How do you feel about that? If you said the word self-plagiarism, yes. So how do you feel about
it? Well, I think that when you develop a style, you just become self-plagiarized, you know, self-plagiaristic. But let's weigh that, you know, let's weigh the balance on that, because our labels, you know, are usually radically different from each other. And then as we have progressed, I find there's a sense of maturity into what we're doing. And when you'd like, now, it used to be you would look at our labels and from year to year, you couldn't even tell it was the same company. And I think that, and you understand with that with me, because, like, you know, how many times when we were working on the photo booth in the front, I was changing the thing all the time, right? Just trying to figure it out. Eventually it gets to some sort of level, and we use this term a lot, of, like, you know, inevitable design, where, okay, that's it. You know, that's where it should be. This is where it's fitting really well. We're not putting an orange spoiler on the car anymore. And it's like, okay, let's settle down here. What's happened, I think, with our labels is I've been influenced by, you know, people and wine club members and even designers, where they're like, hey man, I'd love to help you with your labels. And I would love to be able to just pay someone to do it. But also I feel like that's been a core part of what we do. Rinker, right. Who's Alex Rinker, who's an amazing designer. Awesome. Super awesome. Works, you know, is a part of the wine club. We kind of bounce stuff off. And a couple of years ago, he's like, yeah, let me kind of help you out a little bit. Cause I was in a bad spot, but he just picked a couple, you know, typefaces that he's like, yeah, I think these three look really, really good together. And I'm like, is it okay if I do that? And he's like, yeah, sure. Great. And I liked the way it was laid out, and it probably would have taken me another 4 years to get there, but he was like, hey, here you go. And I was like, wow, I really like that. That looks good. And it didn't take me 4 more years to get to that inevitable design. Someone gave me a cheat code, right? And that to me is helpful. But on the other end, if you keep looking, Banksy has a style. Warhol has a style. These people have a style. And then, you know, Chuck Baldessari, you know, has a style. He started doing things that other people recognized him for doing that. And I think once you have success with that, then you just do, sometimes you do more of it to, like, oh.
Yeah. It's the interesting thing, right? Like, you get into a place where the imitation of your style and the evolution of your style, they kind of start to go hand in hand. Like what it becomes this continuum of sameness while also there being some difference.
Yes.
It's interesting. And that's actually the place where I this is funny, because I right now I'm trying to do some new things. And
can I ask you why you're trying to gear up for that? Are you doing it for the sake of being new, or are you doing it because you have, I mean, why are you changing a little bit?
Well, I think in general, just because whatever my current set of tools, products, mm-hmm. Businesses are not sufficient.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm trying to, the only way I can say it is I'm trying to find a new gear.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
You know, kind of in the way, so it's like, it's the same bike, but I need to find a new gear that is, to get up this specific hill or whatever it may be. Right. To use a metaphor, to talk about a metaphor. And one of the things is like, I'm kind of running around and kind of like the plate is full. So I'm trying to figure out how to be creative while being busy. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is by like, iterating and kind of imitating and trying to identify and use the best parts of what I have at my disposal based on like either work I've done before or processes or, you know, just kind of, investigating what's successful. So it's an interesting thing to look at like imitation, plagiarism, copying, even a little bit of copy and paste, and externally looking at, but kind of critically looking at the end result of different processes or things that I see in the world, even other businesses and other business people like you. So it's interesting, and it is, I think, a freeing thing to tell people feel free to imitate. I think the important part though is like that's not the end goal. That's a transitive place. That's a learning step, and you really have to kind of identify with how you implement and what you implement, and you have to be careful to realize when something. I mean, it's all postmodern. Everything comes from somewhere else, but
I think you can also tell your own story while imitating,
right?
And I think that's where you get to that really interesting crossover, because if you say feel free to imitate, if you go out and cut stencils, right, and you're going to go hit a wall, you're no one's going to confuse you with Banksy, right? You're going to be, even if you are imitating, you're not that funny, right? And you're,
well, that's the interesting thing, right? Like at a certain point, like stencils was Shepard Fairey, was Obey.
Yep. Repetition.
He was probably one of the first to like as a street artist use that, but now it is just a type, right? There's and even to talk about like Invader with all of his mosaics, his, you know, Space Invader styles, his style comes directly from the video game, but then his application and technique is something new. And I just saw one in New York the other day that looked like an Invader piece, but it was some completely different artist just using his mosaic style. See,
and that's so usually when you've made it, right?
Even with,
when someone's biting your style super hard, that means you've made it from a from a third party. But when it happens to you, like right now, I can show you pictures of wineries who are like, it's straight up biting style. And
yeah,
that's hard for me, because I'm like, what do? There's no win. If I,
you got to keep going. Well, it's interesting. I loaded up your website, you know, and I see you got that new drone shot, coming in, and it's like, you know, it's evolving. It's clean. It's like, it's almost, that's a perfect shot. You know,
I felt good about it.
It's a perfect shot. Yeah, no, it's good, but that's the thing, right? They can't catch up with what you just did. They're going to catch up with what you were doing last year. So you got to just keep moving. And I think that's, you know,
I know you got to go. Yeah. The one thing I would love is you've been around since day one. And my only thing is like, you can, like my labels are like our product, you know, it's our forward facing thing. Do you honestly, not as friends, but as someone who will give me, have we fallen off? Have we gotten better? Are we hitting our stride? What do you feel from what we do?
I don't know. I don't know the full set. Let me load it right now. I think that the equality label and the photography you have for that one to me was perfect. that one actually really resonates with me. I have a whole black and gold thing that's like going on in my mind, and that is, it's perfect. That Now that is also moving in a very minimal direction. That's different. Mm-hmm. But I love it. And I feel like you can't go wrong with your family,
yep.
Portraits. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong there either. You know, but it's also one of those things, you know, like we were just talking about the stencils with Banksy and Shepard and the tiles mm-hmm. with Invader and whomever that new person was. Like, I'm sure somebody's going to pick up this story from you. And they're going to be like, yeah, we are a
family. I see wineries doing it.
These are our family's photos.
Dude.
You know, and that's the thing, right? You are playing with the most rich pigments. You're playing with emotion and true connection. And I think that is what makes it unique in you. But I think others will start to mix with those same colors. And you're the first, I think, at least from my knowledge of this crop of wineries that was selling the story in that mm-hmm. way. But I think others have followed you through the door. And so that's the hard part, right? So I think we have to go out and imitate ourselves and get on to the next thing and not be overtaken in our own lane. I'll
give you the other background to that. And I know that I'm speaking to you mm-hmm. in a very clear way, is that if what you have built, right, you built it from scratch, no one can step to you on your street cred. Like, you bought mm-hmm. that. We built this. Right. Those are two real mm-hmm. different things. And when those things come in, and, you know, real recognizes real. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. And when you go, oh, dude, we've been doing this for 10 years. This is how we've been doing it. We've been farming for 20. We're the only people who do this. We farm our own stuff, blah, 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 blah. Then people are like, oh, no kidding. Yep. But that's a one to one.
Well, that's the difference, right? When I see yours, really what I'm looking at is the whole thing, right? Yours goes through the bottle out the other side. Theirs is a label, but the consumer doesn't know that. And that's the hard part, right? That's not where the fear is, but that's
you motivated me.
They're dressing in your, you know,
they're wearing
the uniform. They start wearing your clothes. Totally. You're like, fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody can buy a pair of Jordans.
And they could be doing it honestly too, right? It's like you have to assume and you assign an intention to it. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard. You just got to keep making. That's what it all comes mm-hmm. down to. We got to go out and keep making.
What this conversation has inspired me very much today. And one of the things is like talking to our staff. It's like, hey, anybody can do this on a label. What makes us special, what makes us unique is our history, is our honor and prepare, is that. Mm-hmm. That is what we need to be sharing. You know, wine, people are tasted. If they like it, cool. If they don't, that's cool too. This is a good one, man.
Yeah.
Good conversation today. Word. Hey, the fat boys are back.
I'm going to go imitate some coffee.
And you know that they'll never be whack.
Have a good day, Keith.